Ephesians, the second chapter. That's where we're starting today. We're continuing on the Holy Spirit, talking about batteries not included. And just a very brief recap for those of you who haven't been with us. The title of this message came from a memory that I had of Christmas when I was a kid, 1978. I'm giving my age away a little bit there. I was 7 years old. Star Wars had just come out, and my parents got for me a remote-controlled land speeder that Luke drove in the movie, and it wasn't just the kind that you push. This was the kind that actually was remote-controlled, and so they didn't buy batteries for it, and Christmas that year was on a Saturday, and I had to wait till Monday because there was nothing open on Saturday, and of course, back in the 70s in northeastern Kentucky, there was nothing open on Sunday, and so I had to wait till Monday morning to get my little land speeder to really do everything that it was created to do. And so I just kind of sat and waited. It was a bittersweet day for me. And as I was thinking about this this series, I was brought to that series, or that memory came back to mind that, you know, for the Christian, we're born again and we've been made new, and we're created new, and we're this really shiny toy, if you will, in the hands of God. You know, he's made us brand new, something that we can all look at, and everybody looks at it and goes, wow, that's just something. But it's more, our walk with God needs to be more than just being made new. In order for us to do and be everything God has created us to be, we have to have the secondary experience of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so that's what we've been kind of talking about, that the power of the for the Christian is not the salvation experience. It is the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we've talked about that for the last couple of weeks. We talked about who is the Holy Spirit, that he is the third person of the Trinity. He is not an it. He is an actual person. And then we talked about things that he does. He guarantees us as Christians. When we get to be born again, we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. But he is the one that actually bears witness or confirms to our spirit that we're now children of God. Then we talked about him being a helper, and a helper doesn't mean he does everything for you. It means that he assists in your efforts, because he, you know, when he gives us a call, he doesn't just say, okay, you're called to do this, but don't worry, you just sit back and I'll take care of it. When he calls us to do something with our lives, we're supposed to go out there and do it, and then he blesses our effort, and he helps in what we're doing. And so he's the helper. Then we also said he is the teacher. There's things that we need to be learning when we read the Bible and it doesn't make sense to us. We need to be asking the Holy Spirit, what did you mean there when you had so-and-so write that? Can you explain this to me a little bit more? And it's the Holy Spirit that causes those things to click. When you're reading the Bible and all of a sudden something makes sense, that's the Holy Spirit making those things happen. And then we also said to you, he is the comforter. And I believe far too many Christians experience him this way. There's not enough experience him this way. What I meant to say is they go through their life and they're just trying to tough things out on their own, when really the Holy Spirit is meant to comfort us in those times that we're waiting for the answers to show up, in those times where we pray and we're believing for something and we're waiting on that manifestation, to use a big Christian word there, to happen. We're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. This is the time the Holy Spirit should be comforting us and should be helping us to calm down and make it through this trial till the answer manifests in our lives. This week, we're going to talk about that he is the distributor of the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the distributor of the power of God. Now, how many of you in here are saved? If you're, you don't have to raise your hand, let me know, but if just to ask yourself this question, if you are saved, and when you got saved, the Holy Spirit was there. I know we prayed and we asked the Lord Jesus to come into our lives, and we prayed for Jesus to save us, and that is the correct procedure, that is the correct way of doing it, is to ask Jesus to save you from your sins. But the Holy Spirit is actually present when we get saved, and as we said to you during week one, he's the one that bears witness or validates the fact that we're born again. If we're being made new, and we're being born again, and we're being made to be new creatures, and we could just go on and on using this terminology, the question I want to ask this morning is why? Why do we even need to be made brand new? Why do we need to be made new? And obviously, the first thing you want to think of is like, well, you're going to go to hell if you don't. I mean, that's the good old church Pentecostal way I grew up. You know, you better turn or burn. Anybody else ever hear that when you were growing up? I mean, you're going to split hell wide open. I heard that at more youth camps than I ever cared to count when I was going there. And so that was the first thing that we think of. But the thing is it's actually deeper than that. It's more than just keeping us from going to hell. It actually is, we can't have a relationship with God until we have been made new. You know, there are people all over the world that are crying out to God, asking God for help, and they're, you know, talking about, you know, well, I'm a good person, this, and I believe in this, and all these things. Listen, until we are born again, we cannot really have a relationship or even fellowship with God. Now, y'all realize there's a difference in fellowship and relationship. Now, I could teach a whole series on this, and I might do that someday, but, you know, if I have a relationship with one of you, but we don't ever, you know, we know each other, we're friends, but we don't ever talk, and we don't ever hang out, see, that's fellowship. So I might even have a relationship with you, but if we're not made brand new, I can't have a relationship with God, so therefore I'm not going to have any fellowship with God. You can have relationship without fellowship, but you can't have fellowship without a relationship. And you can't have either one unless you're made brand new. All right? The second reason is we can never experience the characteristics of the Holy Spirit that we've been talking about without being made new. Unless we're brand new, we'll never experience God as the comforter, the Holy Spirit as the comforter. We'll never experience the Holy Spirit as the teacher. We'll never experience him as the helper. We will never experience him, you know, as the distributor of the power of God. We cannot experience these things unless we're made brand new, all right? But this is what I want to talk about today. The only way God can reach everybody else in the world is through us. Turn and look at your neighbor sitting next to you and say, you're the only way God can reach the rest of the world. Come on, look at him and tell him that. You're the only way. There's no other way. Listen, there's no other way. God can't come down and preach himself. Now, I'm sure that doesn't mean he's not capable. It's not that he's not able, but this is the path that he's chosen, and his own integrity bounds him to use us. That's just the way it is. You and I are the only vessels that can carry the true message that Jesus Christ, come on, died, rose again, and is Lord of all, and we're the only ones who can tell somebody else about that. And in order for that to happen, we have to be made brand new, because when we're made brand new, the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that, all right? How many of y'all know Jesus came as a person in order to reach people so that they can go out and reach more people? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, it says this, though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone the mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Now check this part out right here. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14 says, what fellowship has light with darkness? Now, some of you might be thinking, what do those two scriptures have to do with anything being together? All right? God's original plan was to use us to reach the rest of the world. You can't effectively reach the rest of the world without a relationship with God. That's why that scripture says, what fellowship has light with darkness? You can't go and represent God if you don't, come on, have God living on the inside of you. I think it's so funny sometimes when these shows have these religious scholars on there who have no relationship with God at all, and yet they're speaking on his behalf. Listen, you can't go and represent somebody unless you know that person. If you do, it's just an opinion that it could be right and it could be way off. Okay? Now, listen, I know my wife very well. Very, very well. Some would say biblically. I know my wife well, all right? So if I'm going to go out and talk to somebody else about my wife, who better qualified to go talk to somebody about my wife than me? Why? Because I have a relationship with her. There's only a few other people that know her as well as I do. Her mom, her dad, her sisters, and that's about it. Okay? I can go out and represent my wife somewhere else because I have a tremendous relationship with her. Same for her, with me. She can go out and represent me somewhere else. Okay? Now, I know Dana pretty well. We've gone to eat a couple times, hung out a few times, but I can't go out and represent him really well to the rest of the world because I don't know everything about Dana. I know some stuff about him, and I can go say some things about him. I could go tell somebody that, you know, he teaches at UCF. I could say, you know, a couple things like that. He's a pretty handsome guy, single. No, I'm just kidding. Looking for, no. His number, you want me to put it on? Any of you watching online, I'll give you his number. No, I'm just kidding. But I can't go out and represent him as well as I can go out and represent Jody because I don't have as close a relationship with him. And you know what? You can't do that either. You can't go and represent God unless you've been made new. However, let me say this. This is what every Christian has been created to do. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, "For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." Listen, you may be thinking, "Brent, I thought this was a series on the Holy Spirit. This sounds like witnessing to me." Trust me, we're getting there, all right? You are an important tool to God reconciling the rest of the world. Every person is valuable in the cause and valuable in making this happen. No matter where you come from, what your background is, your history, your upbringing, God created you with the hope of winning someone else into his kingdom. Some of you, that just went over like a lead balloon right there. You have been created as the hope for someone else. Y'all ain't getting this. Okay, now this is hard for people to understand because they're always either expecting to slough it off on somebody else or they don't think of themselves as something any value at all in the hands of God. Listen to me. You were created as the hope of winning somebody else. You were. Jesus died for the sins of all mankind, but he created you to go tell at least one person on this earth that. Okay? You are the hope. Now, how that gets done depends on what gift he's placed on the inside of you. You might be a musician. You might be a teacher. You might be an athlete or a filmmaker or a businessman or, you know, whatever it is that you do. A mechanic, you know, whatever. But however that gift that's been placed on the inside of you, those gifts are there, placed there by God so that you can go and reach somebody else. Now, when God created you, he created you with that gift or that talent to accomplish this. Accomplish what? To reach someone else. Okay? And he called you to do something with those gifts, and no matter how you've lived your life up to now, what you've done with your life up to now, those gifts and those talents have been there, placed there by God, along with a calling to use them. Okay? Anybody in here ever watch the Mission Impossible movies with Tom Cruise? It's a new one getting ready to come out next year, I think, or year after. I thought they were done with 3, and then they came out with 4, and it just kept getting better and better and better. And I used to like the old TV show, you know? And so they always had that part. You know, here is your mission, should you choose to accept it. Listen, it doesn't matter if you accept it or not, this is what we're asking you to do. That's basically what they were saying there. Here's the mission, you choose to accept it or not. It's not like the mission changes or we're not going to do it anymore. The mission is there regardless if you choose to accept it or not. And you have been given a mission, you've been given a call, you've been given a reason to exist by God. All right? Now, it doesn't matter how you're living right now. Doesn't matter what mistakes that you've made. God still planned you to come here with the hope of reaching somebody else. All right? Now, this little Mercedes that we have parked up here on the, this is my son's, we have two of them. My parents, and they're watching right now. My parents, to say, you know, and I'm sure if anybody in here's grandparents knows the word, spoil your grandkids. My parents are the epitome of that, okay? This was Christmas, and there's another one just like it in my garage. I mean, there's two of them, and Peyton wasn't even big enough to sit in it and reach the steering wheel, and they still went and got him one. I'm like, why didn't we get one and let Peyton grow into it as Preston grows out of it? You know, they're my grandkids. I can do whatever I want. I mean, that's the attitude, okay? Now, so that's what this little Mercedes is. And so we have to look at this, and we look at this little car, and we say, this thing is built to roll and carry a small child inside of it, okay? It has wheels, little electric engine, and a battery to do it, and it's that's what it's built for, all right? No matter what else, I can look at that, I can take the battery out of it, and still say that is built to do that, okay? I can take the Mercedes emblems off. I can peel all the stickers off of it. I mean, this thing is still built to carry a small child rolling down the street or rolling down the sidewalk. That's what it's built to do, no matter what. All right? Romans chapter 11, verse number 29 says this: "For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn." All right? Another translation of that says, "The gifts and callings of God are without repentance." What's he saying? What is he saying here? Okay, he's saying that it doesn't matter how you live or if you ever believe there's a God, if you ever believe that God's real, if you ever have a relationship with God, he still made you, he still created you, and he still has a purpose for you. Now, we're getting to the Holy Spirit part, okay? Those gifts that God placed inside of us in someone who isn't born again are not usable by God. Now, a few years ago, now it's happening again, but a few years ago in the 90s, when everybody got scared that they were going to take everybody's guns away from them and the, you know, background checks started and all that stuff back in the 90s, the first time, all right, it was a real scary time to be a redneck. Okay, again, I was northeastern Kentucky at this point in time, and it was real scary because everybody thought your guns are going away, you know, I mean, you know, communism is coming. You might as well just get ready. I mean, people are buying boxes and boxes and boxes of ammunition and hiding it in safes and digging it and digging holes in the ground and putting stuff in there. I mean, it was happening all over the place. All right. And so me and a bunch of guys, including my dad, we bought a couple, more than a couple, we bought like almost a case of SKS rifles. Now, SKS is the precursor of the AK-47, for those of you gun freaks out there, all right? It shoots the same bullet as an AK-47. Somehow maybe says, what do you need one of them for? I didn't need one, but I was afraid I would never be able to get one, so I bought one, all right? Now, I bought one, and it was 50 years old, in a case, been sitting in China somewhere for 50 years, and they found this big surplus of them, and so these things flooded the market in the 90s, and they were everywhere. And so you could buy a case of them for like $200, okay? Yeah. So we bought one, so we all could have one. Now, when we unpacked these things, they were just packed in grease and gross and just, you know, straw. They didn't wrap them up nice. They were just packed in there in straw and sawdust, and guess what? They were unusable when they came out of the box. That's why you could buy them so cheap. I mean, they're just unusable. And so we took them all apart, cleaned every piece, soaked it in carburetor cleaner so it all just eat all that stuff off. We just let it soak, you know, and we bought new stocks for them and everything, put them all back together, and guess what? They worked. 50 years old, been in a warehouse in China somewhere. It was all Soviet Union leftover stuff, writing on the sides in Soviet Union writing. I mean, it's just, it's the real deal. And it's just, and guess what? It worked beautifully. Now, what's your point, Brent? This is how we are. We come out of the box You know, we're not in good shape at all. We're not usable in the hands of God. But as soon as God cleans us up, come on, somebody. As soon as God changes us into what he's created us to be, listen, we are now usable and we will always, come on, work. Why? Because God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make something that's a piece of junk. Listen, a 50-year-old rifle made by somebody who knows what they're doing will fire 500 years from now just as well as it will 50 years from now. That's the way God created us, okay? We are cleaned up and we're made usable. And once we're made usable, now in order for that rifle to fire, I had to go and buy some bullets. And I went and bought bullets, stuck it in there, and now we have something that can do something. This is the same thing with you. When you get a battery in you, now the gift that God's placed on the inside of you starts to come to life and actually function, and it makes more sense, okay? Once our gifts are cleaned up and made usable through us being born again, they are now in need of a battery. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 5, Jesus says this, "But John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Skip down to verse number 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, this was Jesus talking to these guys after they had been born again. Okay? What's he saying? You're cleaned up now. Now you're going to get power so that you can go out and affect somebody else. All right? Acts chapter 8, verse number 12, and then 14 and 17. All right, 14 through 17. Let's look in verse 12 first. "But now the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized." Skip down to verse 14. "When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for those new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit." What happened here? They got cleaned up, and now they're going to get power put to them. All right, this is what the secondary experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit is all about. It is a second experience, apart from being born again, that gives you power to affect people for the kingdom of God. Now, what do we need this power for? There's plenty of good Christians out there that are, you know, out there representing God, and they're not really doing anything. They're not filled with the Spirit. They never got the secondary experience. What's going on with that? I want to say this to you. We as individuals, as people, lack the power on our own to represent God properly to the rest of the world. Now, if you ever take notes on anything that I say, this is a good place to take it right here. All right, this is one of those good quotes. Any talent or ability being released aside from being filled with the Holy Spirit is limited in its impact. The God-given gift that he placed inside of you will impact someone because it did come from God. But when our ability drives the gift, it can only do so much. This little Mercedes here, without the battery in it, becomes human-powered. And I've been out in the street at in my neighborhood and watched the battery die in this thing and watched what Preston had to do with it. He sits there and kind of tries to make it go, and it won't go. Guess what he has to do? He has to get out of this car, and now this thing becomes human-powered. Now watch this, because when this becomes human-powered, it doesn't function, come on, the way it was built to function. All right, what it's built to function is the little kid sits inside and his ability pushes the pedal inside and it activates the power and down the street it goes. When it's not that anymore, he has to get out, walk around behind it, and push it. That's not what this thing's built for. This is not built to be pushed. You can hear the gears kind of, it's not good for the gears, it's not good for anything inside of it. It'll work that way, but it's going to be real limited. It's not going to be very fun for him to push this around. He's not going to get any joy or any happiness out of pushing this around the neighborhood. Listen to me. There are so many people out there pushing their own gifts, trying to make stuff happen, and they can't figure out why their walk with God doesn't make them happy. They don't understand why they don't get any response from people. They don't understand why. Because they're doing it with no power of the Holy Spirit behind what they're doing. They're doing it human-powered. All right? Maybe somewhere in a really unfortunate place, they may be okay pushing around another car, pushing around this guy. Oh, look how cool this is. I'm going to push this around. Somebody might like that. Okay? But if people understand what this is truly built for, they understand that I got to charge the batteries. All right? I do not want to go through my life and do things just on my own power, because my power will be limited in its impact. I'll get some people's attention because my gift is loud. Y'all have heard me say it a million times. This is my gift right here. I don't really need this microphone. I don't. I came out of the womb with this gift. I cried at the hospital with this gift, and all my cousins made fun of me because of this gift as a baby, laying in the nursery going, sounding just like this. Answering the phone as a toddler, hello. And they would just laugh and go, listen to this little kid talk. This is a gift. My gift will turn some heads. Why? Because God blessed me with this gift. But this gift by itself can only affect so much. But as soon as I add the power of the Holy Spirit to it, this gift is not limited anymore. And this gift has gone and stood on stages in countries I never thought I'd ever go stand in front of sizes of crowds that I never thought I'd ever stand in front of. I've preached to thousands and thousands of people in one shot. I've given altar calls and seen hundreds of people come. I've gone and laid hands on thousands of people, healing lines around a thing in the Philippines. I prayed for 700 teenagers one time, one shot by myself. And that's not because it's me. It's because the power of the Holy Spirit woke up my gift on the inside of me and made it do more than I ever thought I would ever make it do on my own. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1 says this, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but I don't love others, I would be only a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave away everything to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I have gained nothing. What's he saying here? He's talking about, listen, if you don't have the power of God in the form of love here, but I mean, if you read chapter 12 before this and chapter 14 after this, he's talking about the Holy Spirit on both sides of the love chapter. So this has something to do with the Holy Spirit. If you're doing all this on your own just because you're talented and you're good, you're going to be limited and you'll be a loud clanging cymbal. But how many of you know a loud clanging cymbal does turn people's heads? It's limited. Some people don't like it. Y'all been in here before when Peyton comes in here after service. My little two-year-old jumps up there on the drums and starts, and you can see everybody start going, oh God, let's walk out. Somebody looks. It's limited in its impact though, okay? Now, there is an exception to this. There is an exception to not being filled with the Holy Spirit and still being able to make an unlimited impact on this earth. All right? And this one exception is this. Believers who speak what the Scripture says or use the name of Jesus will still get results. Okay? There has to be an exception, because if there wasn't, we would never see any unborn or unspirit-filled Christians we would never see anybody like Billy Graham. We would never see that man's ministry ever. It would have never happened. Why? Billy Graham's not spirit-filled. But how many of you know that man's seen more people saved than you know, Carter has little pills. That's an old reference for all you older folks in here. You probably got that. Younger folks are like, I don't get it. I'll let you Google that. He's seen so many people born again. Why? Because he gets up there and he speaks the name of Jesus and he preaches from the Word of God. All right? So there is an exception that can be made. All right? If we speak the scriptures in our lives, if we speak the name of Jesus, we get unlimited amounts of power. But how many of you know, I mean, we could back that up with scripture too. Flesh and blood will pass away, but my words will never pass away. You know, and then there's the one, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. All right, doesn't say you have to be spirit-filled to say that. Just it says that you use that, all right? But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a difference. Listen, those things are spirit-filled already. Those are anointed things already. Jesus' name has already got all the power of God in it. The Word of God already has all the power of God in it. That's why when we speak it, it works. Now, here's what the difference is. When we become spirit-filled, now I want you to catch this. When we become spirit-filled, we now, as anointed, y'all ain't ready for this. We now are just as anointed as Jesus was when he came up out of the water and after John baptized him. We become just as anointed as the Word of God is. Now, that doesn't mean I'm anything special or you're anything special. It doesn't mean that God loves me more than anybody else. That's not what I'm saying. It doesn't mean that, you know, I'm going to die on a cross and save the whole world. But what I am saying is the same power. You don't believe me. Let's go to Romans. I can see some of you already just, I don't know about that. Romans chapter 8. Okay? Romans chapter 8. All right? The filling of the Holy Spirit makes you now anointed as much as the Word and the name of Jesus does. We're not perfect like they are, and I want to say this. There's a difference between being perfect and being an anointed. Okay? To be perfect, that's not going to happen. Jesus was the only one. He was the only one that's perfect. The Bible, the Word of God, come on now, it's perfect. That's not me. That's not you. That's why the Holy Spirit can only move so much in our lives, and we only have it by measure. We only have a portion of it. Okay? Jesus had it all. We don't have it all. We have a portion of it. Okay? All right? There is a difference. All right? Anointing can come upon perfect and imperfect vessels. But it's that one perfect vessel that made us new, so now we can become containers of that same power. Romans chapter 8, verse number 11 says this, the same, I love that word right there, the same Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Okay? 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And so these gifts and talents that you're born with and placed inside of you and put there by God himself, when you become filled with the Spirit, you aren't just gifted anymore. Y'all ever heard that term? They use it to talk about kids in school a lot. Oh, they're gifted. They're gifted. You know, usually means that they're smart. You know, they're smart. They're smart kids. That boy's gifted. You ever seen somebody that's athletic, you know, they come out of the womb almost with a football in their arm. You know, they just come out that way. I mean, and they get on the field or on the court or on whatever, and it just shines. They're just gifted. You see people that are, you know, musically, same thing. I mean, they just kind of take to it like a duck does to water, and people say, oh, they're just gifted. You know, and that's God. That's the way God creates us. We're all gifted in something. But see, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not just gifted anymore. We're gifted and anointed, which means the power of God rests upon that gift. And now that gift can do everything that it's supposed to do. This little car right here, when it's plugged in and that battery is charged, my son can go out and enjoy this thing for hours in the neighborhood, out on the street, up on the sidewalk, in my neighbor's yard, in the people across the street from us's yard. And I have to go out there and make sure no cars are going to run over them. And they're just out there having a ball, turn the blinker on, and they're going, you're turning left. And you turn the blinker on the other, you're turning right. And we can hear all that. And he's got a little radio in there and it plays all this little generic music. And it goes on and on and on and on and on for hours. Why? Because we're releasing the gift from the power source. Come on, somebody, inside. You get empowered to let your gifts make the ultimate impact. You become a better teacher. You become a better musician. You become a better athlete. You become a better businessman. You become a better speaker. You become better at whatever it is you do when the Holy Spirit fills you. And we'll pick up here next week. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to fill us so that our gift would make the ultimate impact in the world today. I thank you, Lord, that you sent him. That you sent him with so much power to give to us. Not because we deserved it, not because we earned it, but because you wanted to put it in us so that you could reach people through us.